Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and the fifth chapter. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read just one verse. It is verse 8, and we will call today's message, Your Mission and Your Motivation. Your Mission and Your Motivation. Matthew 5, verse 8. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Hear them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heavenly Father, the words of our Lord here encompass so much. Etch them on our hearts, souls, and minds that we may live them through our lives and know just exactly what our Lord was talking about. By the power of the Holy Spirit, for your glory, Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of questions to start out. How much God do you see in your life, in the world, amidst all the pandemic and the confusion or whatever situation? How much God are you seeing these days? Let me follow it up. How much God do you see with how much God do you want to see? Oh, everybody says, oh, yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, you sure? You look in the Bible, when they encountered the holiness of God, what happened? They were frightened. People talk about, oh, I felt the presence of God. Did you now? Well, we're kind of getting off subject, actually. The point is, he says here, Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This one blessing embraces all the blessings mentioned here in Matthew 5, 2 through 12, which you probably know are the Beatitudes, is what we call them. And in this context, to be blessed means to be happy and approved by God. I'm blessed, I'm happy, I'm approved by God. Everybody wants that, amen? But what does the pure in heart mean? What does they shall see God mean? When, where, what, why, who, how? How does this apply here? So let's look at these. The pure in heart. Purity means clean. It means clear, unmixed, undiluted. And pure in heart refers to inward purity. Remember, Jesus was talking and there were Pharisees listening. There were people that had been washing the outside of the cup, but inside was dirty. He's not really talking about an outward purity. He's talking about an inward purity. And he's not just talking about your emotional self, your visceral, your gut feelings. This is about purity in your mind. Jesus is talking about what your thoughts and intentions are, what your true colors are. As Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God knows your heart. People say, God knows my heart. Yes, but does he have your heart? And God knows your heart better than you do. As Hebrews 4:13, the next verse says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, when you look at the Beatitudes and you look at the New Testament, you really look at the entire Bible, being pure in heart is the most comprehensive requirement of a believer's life. That's what our aim is. It's the mission of the Christian life. We titled this message, Your Mission and Your Motivation. The mission is to be pure in heart. What we need to explore is what the motivations are. But we need to talk about what pure in heart really means. Because it should be your goal. What is your goal these days? Well, I want to finish this grade. I want to finish high school. I want to get this job. I want to make this amount of money. I want my parents to be okay and me to have a successful move. I want this or that. I want this. I want God, whatever it may be. Some of these things can be just fine, but are they in the center of your life or is God in the center of your life? Again, pure in heart. Pure in heart. It means to be purely devoted to God. Doesn't mean you don't have other devotions. It means that's the one that's in the center. Not first, the center. Because you could do something first and say, God, and say your grace, say your prayers, and then go do whatever you want to do. How often do our children do that? How often do you do that? You put something on at the beginning or the end, saying, okay, I've taken care of that. Now let me get on to doing what I really want to do. That's why I'm asking, what is your mission in life? And what's motivating you to live that way? Now, when we talk about purity before God, we talk about having a pure heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's impossible for you to have a pure heart in and of yourself. However, you can have a pure heart by the grace of God. It's a gift from God. It's part of what it means to be saved. And it comes by the Holy Spirit causing you to be born again to repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says, pure in heart, not perfect. And again, to be pure in heart means to be purely devoted to God. We're going somewhere. Are you on the journey with us? In other words, blessed are those whose mind is separate from and different from the world. It's a single-minded devotion. Let me explain it to you this way. Remember when you first got saved? What did you think about? You thought about Jesus. Everything that you did revolved around Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus? You want to find out more about Jesus? Your devotion was about Jesus. You were single-minded. You were pure in heart. That's what was going on in your life. Can I get an amen? Is that the way it was for you? Because if it wasn't, I wonder. Again, you relate everything in your life to how it relates to Jesus. You see God in everything you do. I never noticed that before. And you've had experiences with God where that happens again. And you're on fire again. You're single-minded. You're pure in heart. Not perfect, but pure in heart. In other words, there's no locked away or secret compartments where He isn't actively ruling as Lord. And remember, I just talked about being saved, and then what happened, right? What happens, right? But when you first get saved, you're open to the Lord. And you're like, okay, Lord, deal with me. Deal with me. Right? And if you continue on in that, you're wanting to change. This isn't perfection. This is practical holiness. You still sin, but you feel conviction and you act on it. You desire to change, and you'll do what it takes to see God move in your life in this area. Remember sometime you've heard a sermon, or you listened to a tape or a CD, or saw something, or you read something, or you were meditating on something, and it hit you, and you thought, oh, and you really did want to change. Now, sometimes we just go about our business after that because it was just a pang and conviction. But if God is really working in you to grant repentance to you, you then take the steps. Just like when you first got saved. Your heart isn't perfect, but it's pure. Its greatest desire is to please God by becoming more like Jesus. Now, when He talks about the pure in heart shall see God, we need to discuss this in different facets, because Christians already have purity in Christ. They already have what we could call positional purity. They're pure in heart because they're in a spiritual union with Christ. Jesus is their purity. He has become to them salvation, wisdom, sanctification, redemption, these things. And Christians will one day see Jesus as He is, and then they will also have perfect purity. 1 John 3:2 talks about both. Beloved, we are God's children now. Positional purity. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Perfect purity. We have that positional purity because we're in Christ. We're going to have that perfect purity because we're going to see Christ. However, here in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This isn't just about positional purity or eternal purity. It's talking about living a life of practical purity. And we read 1 John 3:2. How about 1 John 3:3? It says, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he's pure. 1 John 3:2 and 3 are very clear. If you're truly a child of God, you have a positional purity. And one day you will have a perfect purity. And if that is your hope, if that's what you're counting on, then you will involve yourself in practical purity. This isn't an imperative. He that has this hope in himself better purify himself because Jesus is pure. No. If you truly have this hope in yourself, you will do it. You want to check what your hope is really in? What are you chasing after? Whatever you're focusing on is what you see the most clearly. What's really at the center of your life? What are you chasing after the most? You can chase after a person, a job, things, and they might be okay if God is in the center of that orbit and they're revolving around that orbit. Otherwise, you're putting them in the center. First John 3, 2 and 3, you need to read them over and over. They're very clear. If you're truly a child of God, you have a positional purity, and one day you will have a perfect purity. And if that's your hope, then you'll involve yourself in practical purity. If you're going to see God in heaven, then you will see God in holiness. That's pure in heart. They shall see God. Who wants to see God? We all see Him into some measure, but don't we want to see Him more and more? Doesn't 2 Corinthians 3:18 say that? We behold Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're changed from one degree of glory to another. The more we see Him, in 1 Corinthians 13, it's talking about one day we'll fully see Him. Just like 1 John, the whole Bible talks about this. Hebrews 12:14 says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The only way anyone can see God for eternity is through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And He's talking about seeing God in eternity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and have been given a new heart. They will see God in eternity. But if you look at the rest of the Beatitudes, it's easy to see that He's not just talking about eternity, He's also talking about right now. He's talking about seeing God move in your life. If you live with a pure heart, you will enjoy God's presence in your life right here, right now. Joy in Jesus despite circumstances. Isn't that what we need right now? Because you can't see everybody all the time. Everybody is hard and get suspicious, and things are getting worse. And what about the politics? And what about my friends? And what about this? What about that? There's always these whatabouts. These what ifs. And we say even if. What now? Even now. We know that. But how can you have joy in Jesus despite circumstances if you're looking at Him? When one of our little babies gets hurt, what do? They want to find mommy or grandmommy or papa. But the issue is, when the children are hurting, they look for the parents for that loving touch, because as bad as it might be, it will get better with that loving touch. But if you're not seeing God rightly, you're seeing circumstances through the light. You're seeing God through the light of your circumstances instead of seeing your circumstances through the light of God. How do you make that a reality? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There it is right there. But how do you get there? How does this really happen? And I want to really help you today, because I believe that there has been insights. Lots of people, I won't be the first one, but maybe you've never heard it the way we're going to describe it. But who wants joy in Jesus despite circumstances? I'm not saying I want bad circumstances, but we got them. Anybody in any set of bad circumstances right now? Raise your hand. And otherwise, if you didn't, you're in bad circumstances because you're lying. Or you don't care about anybody else. And I have bad circumstances, so if you don't care, just got you all. There's a big net. First Peter 1:8 expresses it this way. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory. Filled with the revelation of God. The greatest blessing and the greatest goal of the Christian life is to know God, to experience His presence in your daily life, and to live for His glory. That's your mission. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But now, how do you do that? How do you develop and maintain a pure heart? I'm not just talking about getting the positional purity or going to be having the perfect purity, but what about the practical purity now? How do you develop and maintain a pure heart? What do people say? I know what they say because I've said it for years. Bible reading, prayer, evangelism, worship, ministry, fellowship with other Christians. And it's true. Those things can help you with a life of purity. As we read this morning, Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. But it doesn't say reading the word there. It doesn't say studying the word there. It says living by it. How do you make yourself want to live by it? Ever thought about that? As Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. A little closer there. However, those things, the Bible study, reading, prayer, worship, evangelism, those are great. You need to do them. I'll never say you don't need to do them. You ought to be doing them. But here's the issue. Those are means. They aren't motivation. Think about it real quickly now. Those things are means. They are not the motivation itself. And that's what you need. You've got to want it. So you need the power, as the Puritans used to say, the expulsive power of a new affection. You need to stoke the fire of your desire. If your heart is purely devoted to God, then Bible reading, prayer, worship, evangelism, ministry, and fellowship with other Christians will be a necessary result. You see, if your heart is devoted, then those things will happen. I don't have to goad you into making them happen. You'll want to do them. Those aren't the motivation. They can bring about some motivation. They're good. But if you are motivated already to, woo, I'm going to get me some more Jesus, then you will do those things, right? You understand the difference between means and motivation now is the way I'm describing him? The pure heart will lead to those things, but those things don't always lead to a pure heart. Let's do some surgery here. Those things don't work automatically. There's a lot of people who are doing a lot of those things, and they are not living with a pure heart towards God. And they're not advancing towards that goal either, because there's many times when I'm not living towards a pure heart towards God. But if you look at the overall trend, I am advancing towards that goal. But there are a lot of people that are going through a lot of the motions, and they are not advancing towards that goal. Don't fool yourself. No amount of going through the godly motions will produce a pure heart if you're just as devoted to something else at the same time. How did Jesus describe it? He said, no man can serve two masters. So, you know, you really want Jesus and everything like that, but you are really hot for this girl as well, and she's not a Christian, and all of a sudden she's in your orbit because her or you are at the center and God's been replaced. That's how that happens, folks. That's how that happens where you said one thing in marriage counseling, and now I warned you about something in marriage counseling. Now you're doing the very thing I warned you about. That's why. Because you got something else at the center, baby. I love you. We can go out there and have it out with you. I'm not playing around, folks. God's not playing around. He wants you to be pure in heart. You will be one way. One day you'll see Jesus, you'll be like that. You've already got it positionally because your holiness ain't going to save you. Let me tell you, it's got to be His. You're counting on His. However, if that's true, the Bible is very clear. You'll want that. You'll want that. You start going out with a girl or a boy and they really like this certain type of music. Suddenly, you like this type of music. Why? Because the overall thing. And if you have other overall goals, they will pull you towards them. Your idols will be exposed. Other people will tell you, and you'll say, no, it's not. No, it's not. Is anybody hearing me? Again, no one can serve two masters. Now, here is the key to motivation. Are you ready? This applies not just to Christianity. This just applies. The key to motivate. You want to motivate yourself? You get motivated when you believe that the reward is worth the effort, worth the risk, worth the sacrifice. You do it because you think it's going to be worth it. Is that what motivates you? Duh. Right? And so the motivation for developing and maintaining a pure heart is about rewards. And that's not selfish. That's godliness, as I'll explain in a little bit here. Practical purity cannot be achieved or maintained by self-discipline alone. People all the time tell me, you know, you lost weight again. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Well, stop yelling at me in the first place. Second of all, you can do it. You just don't want it. And that's what happens to me too. I don't want it anymore. I'd rather wear my fat man clothes and eat what I want to eat. I'm not mad at anybody about anything. Don't you dare choke on the hors d'oeuvres. Listen to the principle of what I'm telling you here. Self-discipline, your willpower, it's not a matter of willpower. It's a matter of passion. What you want, you go get. That's why you can be a monk and it doesn't matter because your heart is still with you. You can cut off all the other stuff. So what? Ask someone that's in the twilight years if they still have to deal with lust. All the old people said, oops. Oh, yes. And now you've got a whole lifetime of memories and things like that that if you haven't dealt with, and now your mind wants to do what your body can't do. I've talked to, counseled with, interviewed, and just been told many times of the truth. And as I get older, because my birthday's Thursday, hi. I know. What's that 2 years older than me? Oh, okay. October 1st is your birthday, I know. The point is this purity in heart thing is not something you just make yourself grit your teeth and as they say in you know, they say what they say might white knuckle it. We're gonna white knuckle it. I mean, there's some amount of that in there, but it's not a matter of that. You can't do that alone. And I know that just by saying that should help set you free a little bit. You can't stop doing what your mom and dad says stop doing just by making yourself do it. You got to want it. That's when it becomes real. Because otherwise, you get out of the house like me, you're 18 or 19 years old, and woo, Viking on parade. You got to want it. It's a matter of desire, and you need a higher desire. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And you can white-knuckle that. I'm just going to think about Jesus. But you can't do that. If you're sitting there, and you're trying to fit the pipes and all that, and you got a torch in there, you can't, Jesus, 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 someone's trying to talk to you about doing something, you're going to burn the house down, baby. And your arm off or whatever else, and draw, I don't know. You can imagine that, right? Let me ask you again, how much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? Friends, it's not how deep you get into God's Word, it's how deep God's Word gets into you. Purity, now listen to this. Purity separates you unto God, and impurity separates you from God. It's not like you're not going to be saved and all of that. It's that you're turning around and not looking at God, or you're turning around and looking at God. How much God do you see? How much sun does anyone in this building see right now? Not much, right? Because you're looking up here, we're inside the building and all that. You got some artificial sunlight called lights here. But if we open these curtains and blinds, you'd see more, right? If you stepped out and got in a tunnel, you wouldn't. But if you got out and looked right at the sun, you'd see more. Right? What's your direction? What are you doing? JD, I want to hear more. Here it comes. Purity turns your gaze towards God. Impurity looks away from God. Purity improves your spiritual vision, and impurity impairs your spiritual vision. 2 Peter 1, 5-9 says that if you're increasing in holiness, you'll be effective and fruitful. But if you're slacking off, you'll become so nearsighted, it will be like you are blind. You need to keep asking yourself this question. How will this job, this person, this action, this thought affect my vision of God? If some other thing, some other goal, some other desire gets in the way of God, if it obscures my vision, if it affects my intimacy with God, my walk with Him, my joy in Him, I don't want it. Sin is what makes you think you do want it. What I want is the presence of God in my life. I want to see God. I need to be at church or to be around church people, watch it online, do whatever, to keep myself, keep reading my Bible, to make myself realize I really want to see God. I'm going to give you two motivations today. This is one of them. Is the experience of God's presence in your life now. Seeing God move in your life. You know, mixing your life up with deliberate sin, with willful, defiant, rebellious, sinful patterns, these things do affect how you see God. You don't think they do. You think you see God just fine, and He's moving your life a whole lot, and He might be. in one sense, but this willful sin is still affecting you. It's deceiving you. Let me tell you how. You see less God than you would, and you don't know what it's like to see more of God. You're enjoying Him less than you could. Maybe you're not doing as bad as you used to or as bad as you could be doing. Maybe you're thinking, it's just sin in my mind. I'm not acting out. Maybe you're just having impure thoughts. Or so you think. So you think you're getting away with the so-called little bit of sin. What about this person? What about this? At least it's not some big overt thing yet. But you're not getting away with it. What's really going on is that you're satisfied with less of God and more of yourself in this world. If that shoe wears it, but sometimes, I guess, with all of us, it's one size fits all. There are things like that. How much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? You know how much God you're seeing right now? As much as you want to. Sin is a liar. Your sin makes you think that keeping it is worth it. I'm guilty of this. Your sin convinces you that giving it up won't be worth it. How am I going to cope otherwise? What's going on then? Your heart is not pure. And you won't see God move in your life in the same way as if you would if you gave up that thing. You're satisfied with less. That's what's happening. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the three-quarters pure, because they'll see three-quarters of what they would see if their heart was pure. Just do the math. The cloudier your mind is, the cloudier your vision is. The darker your heart, the darker your sight. Ephesians 4:17-20 says it this way. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles, and he meant unsaved people, do, and the futility of their minds. See that? They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. Now, by the way, he's talking to Christians who shouldn't act this way anymore. He's saying this is the way the unsaved people act, and you're acting like that, so don't do it. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learn Christ. How much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There are rewards in this life for the pure of heart. They'll see God. They'll experience and enjoy the presence of God in their life, and they'll see God move in their life. They can be in the pit or in the prison, but just like Joseph, they will know God is with them. Joy in Jesus despite circumstances. Don't let sin tell you that practical purity isn't worth it. Jesus says it is. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. No matter what happens during this pandemic or any other natural disaster or political situation or persecution or whatever may come, this blessing applies. Even if we wind up being totally separated from one another, you won't be separated from God. No matter what, this blessing applies to you. The 19th century Anglican Bishop J.C. Ryle said it this way, I earnestly beg all sick believers to remember that they may honor God as much by patient suffering as they can by active work. We did a sermon a few weeks ago called When Burdens Become Blessings. How much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that leads us to our second motivation, an ultimate motivation. The motivation for a pure heart, for practical purity, is that you will receive greater rewards in heaven. As we said earlier, Christians already have positional purity. And one day they'll have perfect purity. So this is not a make-it-to-heaven issue. This is a rewards-in-heaven issue. But a lot of people don't pursue practical purity because they don't see the worth of it. But think about it. The more you pursue, develop, and maintain practical purity, the more your reward you will see in eternity. Ready for this? The more of God you'll be able to enjoy. That's not heresy. That's Augustine in the City of God. That's Jonathan Edwards. The great theologians all say that. 20th century John Gerstner, there's others. How much God are you going to be able to enjoy? How much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? The more you pursue, develop, and maintain practical purity, the more reward you will see in eternity. The more of God you will be able to enjoy. Let that sink in. And then ask yourself, is your motivation to store up treasure in heaven, or are you mostly pursuing the pleasures and treasures of this earth? Enjoy the earth. Don't be a Gnostic. Physicality is awesome. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't become a man, a person, humanity. Wouldn't have taken on flesh. You got blessings? Amen. Enjoy them. Share them. Be with them. That's great. But if you make them the center, and you make chase just one more dollar, just one more this, just one more that, then I'll get what I really want. The Bible is very clear. I'm just about done. The Bible's not very clear that I'm just about done. The Bible's very clear and I'm just about done. There are degrees of reward in heaven. Now some say, well, you can't say that, Pastor, because you know that's selfish, isn't it? No. It is not selfish. You don't have to wonder if seeking heavenly rewards is selfish. The desire to honor, please, and delight in God. This is what the pure in heart are doing. And they're rewarded for it in this life and the next. It's not a matter of chasing reward. It's a matter of chasing God. Delighting in Him. Not just doing a devotion. And you do that when you have to do it, but you're wanting to do it because you know the reward's going to pay off, baby. You get more of God in this life and more of God in the next. Amen. It's the truth. This is not selfishness. This is godliness. As the 18th century theologian Jonathan Edwards, I mentioned a moment ago, he said it this way, there are degrees among the saints. All shall be perfectly happy. Everybody will be perfectly satisfied. Amen. Each vessel that is cast in the ocean of happiness is full. Though there are some vessels far larger than others. Are you wanting a thimble full? Or do you want that 55-gallon drum full? Or do you want the whole water tower full? How about the whole river? How about the whole ocean? How about every drop you can possibly squeeze in? There is no limit to this. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. And then the challenges come, and you say, I'm keeping Jesus at the center. I'm going for this thing. And then something else comes. I'm keeping Jesus at the center. And you have some tragedy. You have something happen. Someone says something. You offended. You did something stupid. This, that, and the other thing. But right in the center, I'm keeping Jesus there. I'm pure-hearted devotion towards it. You will see God move you out of those situations or leave you in those situations where you're still praising God and you know Him even greater. And everybody goes, what is going on? Well, I'm a Jesus freak. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. I know, Papaw's loud. When you don't let anything else get in the way, that doesn't mean people get in the way. That means you serve them towards God. Everyone that's cast into the ocean of happiness is full, though there are some vessels far larger than others. That has motivated me for years. You need to place your value in eternal things. If you're a Christian, you're forgiven of all your sin for eternity. Amen. But what you do in this life will have eternal consequences. Amen. How much God do you see? How much God do you want to see? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is your mission and your motivation. Heavenly Father, we have our marching orders, and we have the rewards right there in front of us. And they're greater than we could even possibly imagine. Help us to imagine them. Help us to have visions of You, Lord, knowing that You are with us and You can do above all we can ask or think, and help us to think big. Everybody talks about having big, huge goals. Lord, my goal is You, and You will be my portion forever. Apportion some of that portion to us now in this place and those that would hear this message, Lord, and those that would read this verse, whether through this message or just reading their Bible. Bring people to this. Let them know of their mission and the incredible motivation for this life and the next. We thank You, Lord, that You have not made these things hidden. but that we can only experience the treasure as we take pleasure in you. Lord Jesus, it is in your name that we pray. Amen.